Morning. It's good to see you today. We exalt our God as we've read from Scripture and as with our voices blended together in praise to Him. Good to have our visitors. We appreciate very much your presence among us. We hope to see you again this evening. We'll be meeting again at 6 o'clock and pray that we can be of encouragement and help to you in your service to the Lord. I invite you to get a Bible. We're going to have a Bible study this morning, as we seek to do every time that we preach from God's Word, that we might understand it, that we might have hearts to receive it. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you, especially this morning, to listen carefully to what God says and to respond in faith to His will, to be saved from your sins. God is great. God is good. He loves us. He loves you. He calls upon you and me, the whole world, to respond to Him in faith that obeys His will. And so it's not simply enough to know that God is good, but He calls upon us to put our faith in His Son, to trust and obey Him, that we might be, that we might walk in the good works He has prepared for us. Ephesians 2. And verse 10, that begins by becoming a Christian, being saved from your past sins. And we want to encourage Christians here, each of us today as well, that we will in fact examine ourselves, that we will in fact know ourselves and repent of sin in our hearts and in our lives and walk faithfully with the Lord. The scripture that Brother Rich read is a familiar one. And it reminds us that, of course, the condition of the heart is essential in the receiving of, the understanding of, and the bearing fruit from the Word of God in our lives. Our hearts bear upon whether or not we will be saved. And there are many heart conditions. You know, the New Testament describes a lot of different hearts. Jesus in this parable, kind of like the collage here with all the different pictures, there are a lot of different hearts described in the scriptures, but Jesus kind of coalesces it all into these four types of soil. The wayside soil of the hard and closed heart that rejects an understanding, it refuses the Word of God. There is the shallow heart that joyfully accepts, emotionally receives the Word, but when tribulation and persecution comes, when pushback comes because of the Word, it stumbles. He stumbles. The thorny soil with the thorns that grow up and crowd out the Word of God and faith from one's life. The overcrowded heart. And then there's the honest and good heart that receives, hears the Word of God and receives it, understands it, holds it fast, and bears fruit. Luke's account in Luke 8 gives us some supplemental understanding, fills out as well as Mark's in Mark chapter 3. Look at Mark 3, Matthew 13, as well as Luke 8 to get a rounded and full view of the soils that the seed, the Word of God, touches. And Jesus puts them all, the hearts, into these four categories in hearing and reactions to, responses to the Word of God. I'd like for us to build on that and go back actually to a verse we used last week. And it was brought to my attention afterwards, and I've been thinking about it throughout the week. Is the verse says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, not only to examine ourselves and test ourselves, but then the rhetorical question is, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? If we do not know ourselves, then how do we know Christ is in us? If we don't know ourselves, it very well may be that we are, in fact, disqualified. He says we must test ourselves. We must test our hearts and our lives with the Word of God, with the Word as it touches our hearts. and how we respond to it. Solomon said to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issue of life. We must guard our hearts. From our hearts, good proceeds, and from our heart, evil proceeds. Jesus taught that in many places. Matthew 15, Mark 7, Matthew 12. We understand that the heart, that which is not the blood pump, it's the mind, our mind, that we're to guard it diligently because our life flows from it. Who we are, what we say, what we do, it's a product of our heart. Necessarily then, we need to guard our heart because you see, God knows our hearts. 1 Peter 3 and 4 urges the godly woman to adorn the inner person, the hidden person of the heart, with a meek and quiet spirit. The hidden person of the heart. You see, the heart is not the face we see. It's not the color of your hair. It's not how tall or short you are. It's not those things. The hidden person of the heart is what we are to adorn. Now, God knows that hidden person of the heart. In fact, God knows the heart of everyone, Acts 1 and verse 24. He is the great heart knower, as they referred to that the apostles did when seeking the replacement for Judas. And so in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, the apostle said that God tests our hearts. He was talking about himself. God tests our hearts. God knew the heart of Paul and Silas and Timothy when they came to Thessalonica. Even though some tested their hearts to be evil, we studied about that this morning. Some said they were liars, they were insurrectionists, they were treasonous. He said, God tests our hearts. God knows our hearts, and He knows ours too. Now, again, we know that, but we must let that sink into our hearts. And again, we come back to the question, do you not know yourselves whether Christ is in you? Examine yourself whether you're in the faith. See, for Christ to be in us, we have to be in the faith. If we're not in the faith, Christ isn't in us. And we can test ourselves with the objective standard of truth, His Word, so we can find out whether Christ is in us. Now, there's a lot said about the heart, and we're not going to say it all this morning, and tonight we're not going to say it all. But I got to thinking, how can we kind of coalesce some of the statements of the heart to help us meditate on the condition of our hearts? I'd like for us to do it in this way. Let's think about our hearts before conversion. The heart before conversion. The heart that leads sinners to conversion and salvation. And then our hearts after conversion. And these are not going to be mutually exclusive. And I think we'll see that as we go through the study. It's not that, well, only if you have never become a Christian will you only have those attributes, and once you obey the Christian, you'll never have any of those qualities to deal with. No, remember the collage. There's a lot of different aspects of our heart, and so these descriptions will not be mutually exclusive before, leading up to, and after conversion, but maybe that will help us organize in a way that we can meditate upon the kind of heart we have and examine ourselves, whether we're in the faith, whether Christ is in us, or whether we're disqualified, reprobate, cast away, cast off is the term Paul used there. So let's talk about the heart before conversion. And look at some scriptures. I said we're going to have a Bible study. We're going to go to scriptures this morning and tonight that have the term heart in it. I know that we could go to almost every verse in the Bible and it relates to the heart. I get that. So we're going to look at scriptures that actually refer to and use the term heart to get at these descriptions of hearts. In Romans 1:21, we have a foolish heart before one is saved in Jesus Christ. In fact, there, the foolishness resulted because, in spite of the evidence that's presented that God is present in this world, that He is a creator of this world, that He has power and deity, people ignored it. Because although they knew God, and they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Because they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Foolish hearts reject the evidence of divine presence and divine truth. Foolish hearts refuse to glorify God, exalt God. Psalm 34 and verse 3. Foolish hearts refuse to be thankful. And so they become enveloped in darkness. Imagine yourself enveloped, surrounded by darkness. That's the heart that is foolish, that rejects the evidence of God's power and presence and His truth. That's before we're converted. That's the heart bound up in sin. In Ephesians 4 and verse 18, that's elaborated upon a bit as it describes such a heart as blind. And it says, having their understanding darkened, there's the darkness of foolishness, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Paul says there's ignorance in hearts. That is, there's a lack of understanding. See, their understanding is darkened. To be ignorant is not to say you're an idiot. It's to say you don't have understanding. You haven't accepted the perception of the truth. So there's a lack of knowledge there. And he says it's blind. And it's dark. That's the heart. That's the mind. Bound up in sin, lost in sin, before conversion to Jesus Christ. In Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 25 and 26, Jesus encounters a couple of followers, a couple of disciples here. And you might say, well, wait a minute. How is it that you're putting them in this category, Joe? Well, the verse says, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. They needed to move along from a slow heart to faith. He says, oh, foolish ones. So they're still blinded and darkened. Here's a heart that is they had yet to be responsive to what the prophet said. He goes on to elaborate. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded them in the Scriptures. In all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. That's what Paul and Silas were preaching in Thessalonica, wasn't it? Jesus preached it there on the day of His resurrection to these two on the road to Emmaus. And He says, you're slow of heart. The slow of heart is slow to believe. Are you slow to believe? Slow to respond? Hesitant to accept the truth? That's the heart that's not yet converted to Christ. If we're slow to accept truth in our lives, if we push against, if we just can't work it out in our head, then we're slow of heart to believe. Because the truth is there, the evidence is there, and God wants us to not be foolish. Christ said, don't be foolish. Be believing, oh foolish ones. He said, you're slow of heart. Gain an understanding from the Scriptures. And He taught them. See, teaching is supposed to help us, help move our hearts along. To be convinced. To be convinced. And to respond in faithful obedience to God. There's a lot said about the dull and insensitive heart by Jesus and by His apostles. In Matthew 13, 15, in this parable, during the parable actually, He taught the parable, then He gave His explanation. And in the process of that, in Matthew 13, He quotes from Isaiah, where it said, among other things, the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they've closed. So here are dull hearts. An insensitive heart. A heart that again, is not responsive. Not open to listening. Not eyes are closed from seeing. In fact, they hear, but they don't hear. They see, but they don't really perceive, because the heart is dull. Chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Is that us? Is that we hear, but we don't grasp it? We listen, but we don't see it? This people draws near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. The heart is far from God. Even when a person was worshiping God, they worship in vain. He said, the heart's far from me, because they elevated their doctrines above and their commands above God's teaching. If we elevate our teachings above God's word and will, it's because of a heart condition that's not right. Yes, there's error in the doctrine, but there's a heart problem when we elevate the commands of men above the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Amen. See that? Somebody says, well, why do you teach about false doctrine? Because it's a matter of a hard heart, an insensitive, dull heart. There's a heart problem as well as a teaching problem. Not one or the other, both. And both must be addressed. But you see, we're gonna make a subcategory. You know, we'll make a list here of dull and insensitive hearts in the Scriptures. Of course, there's the hard heart. You know, the warning: harden not your heart, as in the days of the wilderness, Hebrews 3 and verse 8. So now, in each one of these, recognize that we have a decision in the process. Don't harden your heart. It doesn't start out that way. You know, Calvinism says it really starts out that way. Your nature is sinful. Billy Graham taught that. A lot of people still teach that. It's error. See? No. We follow our own devices. Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, God made us upright. Don't harden your heart. You know, one of the ways we harden our heart is keep pushing against and refusing the truth. When we don't receive the truth, hold it fast, we're hardening our heart every time. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. The dull and insensitive heart, again, is described as without understanding. Jesus gave this definition, so it's worth listening to. In Mark 8, 16 and 17, Jesus described and defined this sort of heart. Now, he charged his disciples, verse 15, take heed and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened? The hard heart does not perceive nor understand. Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember how I broke the loaves and gave and filled the baskets? And he sums up again, verse 21. How is it you don't understand? The dull and sensitive heart just refuses to understand. It's without understanding, without perception, without spiritual perception. Some people just don't think on a spiritual plane. And if we don't think on a spiritual plane, Paul described that as the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2, about verse, I think it's 14, 15. The natural man didn't respond to the revelation of God, to the Word of God, without understanding. The dull and insensitive heart resists the truth of God. Remember the resistance to God's will that of one man and one woman for life from the beginning? God created them male and female and said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh, so that they are no more two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. But they said, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorcement and to put her away? He said, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce or put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. You had hard hearts. You resisted the truth of one man and one woman for life. So Moses gave a contingency, Deuteronomy 24. But from the beginning, God didn't give that to command you to put away and marry and put away and remarry. He did that to try to keep you from doing it. He made it pretty difficult to do it. Because from the beginning, you see, here's the truth of the matter. God made marriage, one man, one woman for life. They resisted the truth. So it's because of that hard heart. See, a hard heart resists truth. Am I resisting truth in my life? Am I resisting the truth of what it means to be a wife? Am I resisting truth of what it means to be a husband? Or a parent or a child? Or a Christian, a brother or sister in Christ? Am I resisting what it means to love my neighbor, to love my enemy, to love my brother? Am I resisting truth? The plan of salvation? True worship? Go down the list. I mean, if we push back and resist truth, our heart's bound up in sin. We're lost. We need salvation. We need to change that. There's that word repentance. Well, Mark 16 and 14, Jesus described this heart as a heart of unbelief. Mark 16, 14. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He rebuked their unbelief, their hard hearts. The women came and said, "The tomb's empty." Peter and John ran over there and they saw it was empty. They got a report from the men on the road to Emmaus. "We saw the Lord." Still, they didn't believe. Now, you and I haven't seen Jesus. Do we really believe He lived? Do we really believe He died on a cross? Do we really believe He's at the right hand of God today? I don't mean just acknowledging. I mean, do we trust it? And shape and mold our whole life after it? Or does Jesus rebuke us for our hardness and unbelief? The dull and insensitive heart is impenitent, Romans 2 and verse 5. Unrepentant. It refuses to change. Boy. That hits us square between the eyes sometimes, doesn't it? Because I'm right. Why should I change? I've gone to church 30 years, and I've used instrumental music, and I wasn't baptized for remission of sins. I know Jesus loves me and saved me. Why should I change? But it's not just the person who's not a Christian. Again, this is not exclusive. We can become entrenched in our heart that's hard and refuse to change my heart when I know I should, when the Bible teaches me to, when God pleads with me to, but I won't. The impenitent heart doesn't respond to change to escape the wrath of God. Romans 2:5 says, "You're storing up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God with an impenitent heart." The Bible talks about the uncircumcised heart. And again, that's a graphic description of the insensitivity of a heart that hears truth, sees the reality of truth, and simply rejects it. Refuses, denies it. Stephen said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." You have a heart that is completely insensitive to everything God did for you, for all the good promises He gave time after time in our history. God sent His message, sent His promises, sent His messengers and workers, and they were rejected. And you did the same thing to the Christ. The uncircumcised heart is calloused. It cannot be reached. It's insensitive to the truth of the gospel. There's also the lustful and fattened heart. Back in Romans 1, in verse 24, a heart that's bound up in sin is a heart that is concerned with indulging itself. God gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Given up to the lusts of their hearts. So the desires of the heart. The hedonistic philosophy of serve yourself, please yourself. God allows that to happen. We are free will agents after all, but God is not going to bless it. God's not going to bless that life. And there are many people who are deceived to think He does. James 5 and verse 5 says, "You've lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter." Like they would fatten the calf for slaughter. He says, "You fattened your heart in your own luxury and pleasure. Mistreating your workers," that's his context. "You withheld the wages of your laborers. You didn't give them a fair wage for a fair day's work. You were fraudulent in your treatment of them. You lied and deceived to pleasure and luxuriate yourself." If we're fattening ourselves in our own desires, that's a heart bound up in sin. It's going to be lost. Now, with all that grouping, before we close this morning, let's talk about the heart that leads to conversion. Jesus said, "Take your yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Now, I know He's describing His heart there. "I am meek and lowly in heart." But He says, "Come to me." Jesus will receive the one who is humble in heart. He's not going to receive the prideful heart, the arrogant heart, these others we've described to this point. In fact, He says in Revelation 3:20 to Christians, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You remember the publican, the sinner with the Pharisee? He wouldn't lift his face to heaven. He struck his chest and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said He humbled Himself and He'll be exalted. We've got to have a lowly, humble heart if we're going to come to conversion of our sins. Pride will keep us out of heaven. It'll keep us away from becoming a Christian. We have to have lowly, humble, contrite hearts. That's the heart that leads to conversion, that hears truth and is convicted by it. Pricked. They were pricked in the heart, Acts 2:37, or cut to the heart. That is, the truth penetrated their hearts that produced good. God's Word is able to pierce the dividing of soul and spirit to reveal the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4 and 12. A heart that leads us to be converted to Christ and saved in Christ is the heart that when it hears truth, it doesn't resist, it doesn't push back, it doesn't close its ears, but it receives that rebuke. It receives that reproof. It receives that information and sees if it's so. Acts 17:11. The Bereans, they searched the Scriptures whether it was so. You see, in Acts 2, they heard the Scriptures. They heard their sin and they were convicted, cut to the heart. And about 3,000 were converted. That's the heart that leads to conversion, a heart that's cut to the quick by truth, prompting repentance. Now, the contrast is in Acts 5:33, where, again, truth cut some people to the heart, but then they were furious. They were enraged. Same message, truth. Some received it, repented, and were baptized. Others got angry, and even to the point of killing Stephen, stoning him to death. They gnashed on him with their teeth in such rage. So,
The heart that's going to lead to conversion, obviously, is the heart that hears the Word of God and accepts its rebuke, accepts its exposure, how it accepts the exposure of our thoughts and intents and practices as being less than what we ought to be, as well as then showing us what we need to be and do to be blessed by God. The pricked heart leads to conversion. Let me say, the consumed heart leads to conversion. What I mean that here is what's described in Luke 24, 32 as, you remember those two on the road to Emmaus that Jesus exposed them to the Scriptures because they were slow of heart? Then later it says, and when he showed them who he was and he vanished from their sight, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us on the road, while he opened the Scriptures to us? See, by doing that with the Scriptures, their heart began to be consumed with this yearning, this burning, this fullness of their of faith and expectation. A zealous, fervent heart, consumed, yearning. You know, the Bible describes of the sorrow of heart, John 16:6. Jesus would be taken away, he would die, and they would have and sorrow would fill their heart, the verse says. Sometimes the heart is filled with sorrow. Our heart ought to be filled with sorrow of sin. But it can turn to fullness of joy. John 16:22. Like the Ethiopian who didn't understand Scripture, but he went on his way rejoicing. His heart was full because of the salvation in Jesus he received through faith and his obedience to the Lord. So is our heart consumed with being right with God in responding to His will, the hope that we have through Jesus Christ? A burning heart. The Bible describes the obedient heart is what we must have if we're going to be saved. Thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Is God's Word was preached to them. They were delivered to that truth. They believed it. They confessed the Lord. They were obedient from the heart. And being made free from sin, they become servants of righteousness. You see, without an obedient heart, we stay lost. Our heart, when it is pricked by truth, when it is humble before God, when it is filled up with a desire to have God's will in our lives and His blessings in us, we'll be obedient and God will bless us with salvation. Our heart condition helps us or hinders us concerning our salvation. Our heart will either help us be saved or help us be lost. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10 says, but a hard heart helps us treasure up wrath against our sins, against ourselves in the day of judgment. Our heart, out of what issues from our heart, will either bring us to salvation in Christ or the eternal loss of our souls. The call of the gospel is to trust and obey Jesus today. Trust, there's faith, there's the heart, and all that's involved in it. Obey, because you see, our heart must drive us to obey the Lord. Humble ourselves and do His will, not our own. If you're not a Christian, if you're lost, Jesus calls you to salvation. He says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that doesn't believe will be condemned. We want you to believe and be saved. So believe and be baptized. That's available to you today. If you'll repent and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, you'll be baptized into Christ and He'll wash your sins away. You'll be saved. If you're a Christian, if sin has intruded into your heart and life, let us repent. Let us not have an impenitent heart, but one that is responsive, sensitive to the reality of sin and yet to the greater mercy and love that's available if we'll repent
If we'll come back to our Lord, He will receive us. He will be compassionate. He will forgive. And we urge that response to His call while we stand and while we sing.